A warm welcome to the show. I hope you are enjoying the show today. Hour one, fantastic. Hour two is going to be equally great. We've got Pastor Q coming on the show in just a couple of minutes. And you wonder, if your name is Pastor Q, what's your name? So I investigated, and I'll just give you a hint. I think it's Latin. I think it's got some kind of Latin in there. It's Quo Vadis. I'm going to let him tell you, but it's, if I looked up the word Quo Vadis in Latin, it means, where are you going? Yay, Quo Vadis, where are you going? Anyway, we're going to have a great show, and then we're going to have Leanne Huff with us. And, you know, I love words of the wise when we have people that have lived for decades following Christ to hear their stories of what they've learned. And I think of what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6, do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. So it's always good to get wisdom from followers of Jesus who have been following for decades. So Leanne Huff is going to be our guest in the second part of the hour. That's what's on the program for today. Awfully glad you've joined me. I'll take a short break and be back with Pastor Q in just a minute.
I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. If you feel like your family is too busy and needs to cut down on some activities, listen to this encouragement from Jill Savage, the founder of Hearts at Home.
We didn't want our kids to be involved in so many activities that A, it was stretching the pocketbook, but B, it was stretching us emotionally and relationally. So one of the first things we did is we really learned about the concept of margin. And margin is having enough white space in our life to really do the things that are most important to us. And the things that are most important to us are actually relationships. And so we started out by limiting everybody's activities, mom and dad included, to one activity outside the home. And there were lots of opportunities to do more than that. But we determined that with seven of us under one roof, one activity was going to be enough, and it was even going to push the margin priority that we had.
Learn more from Jill Savage at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome to the show. You know, I always love to check in with places in our listening family. So when we go to Waterloo, let's check in with Pastor Q from Waterloo. I'm trying to figure out if that's an easy thing to remember or a hard thing to remember. I'm thinking it's pretty easy, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a great alternative to the original, which is Quo Vadis.
Say it again. What is it called?
It is Quo Vadis is my first name.
Quo Vadis. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Yeah, man.
Where are you from?
Yeah, man. I am originally from the Cedar Valley, so within your listening area, which would be the Northeast Iowa Waterloo area.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated always with churches that are alive for Jesus and making a difference in the community. And I just want to keep in touch and get to know what's going on in your world and just be brought up to speed with what's going on at Hope City.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for highlighting the work of the local church. You know, we really believe the local church has the message, which is the hope for the world. And so we, in light of that, we started our church going on 3 years, September 13th, when we started our church in 2015. So we're coming up on our three-year anniversary. It was six of us, and we said, what would it look like if we started a life-giving church that was committed to the gospel and living out the mission of Jesus to restore people, places, and things to himself for his glory in his world? And so we said, let's do it. And we opened up our first Sunday morning service in September. About 210 people showed up, and we haven't looked back since then.
Whoa. That's a huge opening day number, just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the good news is that many people came the first day, first Sunday, and then we grew by subtraction.
So, oh, of course you did.
The next Sunday, about half of them showed up. And now today, I'm super grateful to say all glory goes to God. We average about 550 on the weekend service. And, man, it's been great just to see the kind of people that God is drawing to our local church from our community.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Q, I was looking over your sermon series, and you preached on facing our giants. Maybe you could share a little bit about the giants you were facing just planting a church.
Yeah, there were many. You know, I think some of them first began with the internal calling and conviction that God has invited you to join him in his mission. And that call will be tested. There will be big days and bad days. And so first, I would say giant is just the one facing me in the mirror, which is myself. Mm. You know, you deal with the questions of, you know, do I have what it takes? Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I skilled enough? And again, we come to the place of the cross that says, I'm not, but he is. And it's less about what I can do for God and more about what God wants to do through me. And so settling that issue first is really the only safe place to live from. It's the question that David had to face. Is he strong enough to face the lion and the bear? No, he's not, but he had come to know and see that his God was able to. And so that's kind of, honestly, that giant doesn't go away. That's when you face, you know, week in and week out, day in and day out. And it's not just for pastors, but for moms and dads and people in the work environment. You know, do I have what it takes? No, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I would say number two, it's probably a giant that many of us are familiar with, and it's the giant of bringing ancient truths to a modern context.
Mm.
And so how do we do that? How do we continue to make known the relevancy of the gospel and man's need for a savior in a society where we are pretty self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and we can pretty much get anything we want? And so reminding men of a need that's deeper than what they can supply for themselves has kind of been a continual, at least giant that we face. It's the same Bible. You know, there's no new stories. It's David and Goliath that's been retold a thousand times over. So how do we continue to present ancient truths with a fresh perspective? I would say number three, dealing within the Midwest, how do we deal with the issue of inequality and justice and racism from a gospel perspective? Where you would not think there would be deep segregation in the Midwest, but there is a subtle separation. It's not just blatant segregation, but there's this kind of subtle, you stay on your side of the tracks, we'll stay on our side of the tracks. Even within the church right now in America, 92.7% of all churches in America are monoracial. So Sunday morning continues to be the most segregated hour in America.
Wow.
Which to me is an affront to the gospel in that God is looking for a multicultural, multigenerational, multi-ethnic family that reveals who he is as a good father. And so what does it look like to be a church that embodies and embraces the community that it's a part of? And so the giant we had to face from the very beginning was to not embrace a ministry model that went after a particular demographic of people, but instead sought to be faithful to the message of the gospel. And so what we say is what Jesus said, honestly, is just that if we will lift Jesus up, then he'll draw all men to himself. We've tried to do that. That's brought its own set of challenges. But in doing so, right now, within our church family, we're about 50% white, 40% black, 10% Asian and Hispanic. That's saying a lot in our context, where about 12% of the population is black, and I think another 5% of the population is Asian, Hispanic, somewhere around there. So we've really seen God raise up this multicultural, multi-ethnic church. And so the giant we're facing is now that we've moved past, not past, but as we're making progress in taking out that giant of separation and a subtle acceptance of that being the status quo, to now embracing this vision of a multi-ethnic, a multicultural church, how do we learn to walk, work, and worship together now as a diverse church family? How do we lay down our preferences at the altar? Things like worship, you know, things like preaching style and dress and vernacular. You know, just how do we continue to embrace this idea of a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church? And by God's grace, man, we're learning to love each other and celebrate our diversity.
Well, Pastor Q, I want to come to your church and I want to sit in the front row.
Oh, brother, I would love it. I would love to have you. I mean, one of the things I love about Hope City is that we really try to embody this idea of family. My mother had a saying. She would say that when people came to her house, there were no such thing as guests, but that everyone who came became family.
That's so sweet.
And so, yeah, and so every Sunday morning I stand up and I say, hey, my mother had a saying. And we've got this poster when you come into our foyer that says, everyone is welcome because no one is perfect and anything is possible.
Mm.
We really have tried to, by God's grace, live out that idea. I think that's what Jesus came to make known, is that we're all broken, and Jesus has come to restore us, to reconcile us, and to redeem us back to our Father. That the ground is level at the foot of the cross, and we're all recovering from something, and we're all returning from somewhere. And how do we, on this spiritual journey, help people find hope and healing on their way to heaven?
Mm. Pastor Q, let me take a short break. When we come back, more with Pastor Q from Hope City Church in Waterloo. That's myhopecity.net. We'll take a short break and be right back. The show. I'm so glad you're still with me because my guest, Pastor Q, is from Hope City Church in Waterloo, Iowa, and I'm just eating up everything he's saying so far. And Pastor Q, I want to ask you a little bit about some of the ways in which we can deal with stress, and also I want to ask you on how to build a strong family, because you keep talking about family. Everyone's welcome. You made a beautiful comment that your mother made about you are all family when you come in her door, and that actually brought tears to my eyes. It's so sweet. And so how do we build a strong family? And then you know what comes with families, stress. So how do we manage that?
Yeah. No, those are two great questions. You know, I think it all starts at the foundation. The strength of what you build is determined by the foundation that you lay. And that's true for families. That's true for us as individuals. I think there are some pillars in which we can erect, practical things we can do on top of the foundation that we lay that will help build and support strong families. Obviously, as a pastor, I believe that the firm foundation of our faith is the man Jesus Christ, who came, died, born of the Virgin Mary, was the Son of God, lived the perfect life, died the death we deserved, rose on the third day so that we can rise in victory as well. That's the foundation. That's immovable. That's unshakable. That will weather every storm. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, the storms will come, the winds will blow, the floods will rise. Not if, but when they do, the house built on the foundation is able to stand, because it's anchored in something more than the temporal. Its gaze is fixed. Its heart is set. Its foundations are laid on the expectation of the eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that gives us all the staying power to weather any storm, because we realize that this ain't heaven, everybody. And so to expect to have a life that's devoid of trial and tribulation, it's inconsistent with the belief system that's founded in the Bible. Why is that important? Because in every family, they will feel stress. There will be pressure. There will be unmet expectations. There will be unmet and unanswered longings. And the hope that we have as believers is that we can experience fullness and abundance in this life, but that the life to come is what holds the ultimate promise for faith and satisfaction in its greatest form. Some pillars we can lay. I think pillar number one, a family that we've heard this before, but really a family that prays together, stays together. Why is that important? Well, one, I think because the thing that you pray for is the thing that you fall in love with.
Mm.
And it's hard to tear down with your hands what you first build up in prayer. And so what we'll find is that in prayer to God for the people that we love the most, God will begin to use us to be an answer to that prayer. I believe that prayer cultivates and shapes a heart of empathy and compassion. Prayer connects us to the power source, which will then empower us to live out the truths of his word as we seek to be the people God's created us to be and create the families that God's created us to have. Two, I would say God's word. God's word. Long and loving devotion in God's word as a family, as individuals. One of the things that I tell our family to do, my personal family as well as our church family, is I say, man, give God your first 15. Give him your first 15. When you first wake up, you got to see the face of God before you see the face of man. And I tell them, you know, spend 5 minutes in prayer, spend 5 minutes in God's word, and then play one of your favorite worship songs.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be amazed at the change that begins to happen in our hearts and in our homes when we do that. You know, one of the things that I think we tend to do is we tend to overestimate what we can do in a short amount of time, and we underestimate what we can do over a long period of time. And so what we all want is we want uphill habits, but we tend to embrace downhill patterns. And the truth is that the battleground for Satan's attack against humanity starts in the home. If we go back to Genesis, then what we see is that the adversary and the accuser, he hits the home life to thwart mm-hmm. the plan of God. What we tend to think is that Satan's after our destiny, and he's not. He's actually after our genealogy. And when we let that set in, then we understand that the things that we do today will impact the generations to come. So establishing some rhythms, which I would say is pillar number three, is rhythms of prayer, being in God's word, rest, recreation,
mm-hmm.
relaxation. That's another pillar that I think we have to embrace as families. So for us, we try to embrace at least one day a week where we try to slow down the pace of life. And on that day, I do three things. I reflect, I rest from my primary work duties,
mm-hmm.
and then I rejoice. And so for me as a pastor, I try not to do anything work-related. That's my rest. I rest from my work. I tried to rest from doing chores, but my wife said that didn't count. So that didn't go over too well.
Yeah.
So I still have to take out the garbage.
Yeah.
But I rest from my primary work. And then I reflect. I reflect on the past week and all that God did. And then that usually leads me to my third R, which is I end up rejoicing and thanking him. So pillar one, prayer. Pillar two, word. Pillar three is rhythms of rest. Mm-hmm. I would say rhythms of rest. And then I would say number four, and you gotta have fun. You gotta have fun. You've gotta enjoy the journey, and not just focus on the destination.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding some things that you guys enjoy doing as a family. For some families, they like amusement parks and roller coasters, and some people have access to those kinds of things. Me, I'm afraid of heights, so I like to keep my feet on the ground.
I get it.
So, you know, so some of the things that we enjoy doing is cracking jokes as a family. I mean, you know, we call it roasting each other. You know,
yeah.
We'll roast each other, you know, for hours on end and in fun-loving ways.
Of course.
You know, we love museums. So that's a big one for us whenever we get to travel. And then I would probably say number five, I'm sure you can create a list of 100, but I would just say number five, if you can think about it as your hand, you know, if the thumb is prayer, keeping connected to everything God wants. Number two is getting in the word, kind of like your pointer finger. Number three, if you can kind of be centered around rhythms of rest and relaxation. Number four, if you're looking at your wedding hand, you know, that covenant hand, enjoy the journey of people you're on. Number five, I would say, is a healthy family A strong family is one that joins God in his mission. Without number five, then it's easy for our families to become self-centered, self-seeking, and we end up actually getting stuck in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no outflow. There's no expression of our faith. There's no expression of our mutual love for one another as it's spilling out into the community around us. It's where your children will actually not just learn the Bible, but they'll get a chance to live the Bible. Man, when you're serving the poor and the needy within your community, the Bible says that God is near the brokenhearted. And as we're going toward the brokenhearted, we'll have a greater experience of being near to God. Our children will learn real time that it really is better to give than it is to receive. I really think that it's not just a family that prays and plays together, stays together, but a family who goes on mission together will stay together and be stronger together. So five pillars, I think if we can build around those five pillars, we'll have a good foundation that we can erect a strong and sturdy house on.
Patrick Hugh, that is tons of wisdom, calmly delivered and easy to understand and easy to take action on. I so appreciate you spending time with me this afternoon.
Thank you.
And I just want to say to you and your family, have a blessed rest of the summer. Have lots of laughs and enjoy your time with your family before the kids go back to school or whatever they're going to do in the fall.
Absolutely. We will. We will. You the same.
All right. Thanks, Pastor Q. My guest has been Pastor Q from Hope City in Waterloo. That's myhopecity.net. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I am always excited when I can do the Words of the Wise. It's a segment that we started here on the show, and it's an opportunity for us to connect and meet someone who's been following the Lord for years and years and years and years, and then we get a chance to ask questions about what it's like, and then what advice and wisdom can you pass on to the rest of the younger generation out there. And my guest in studio is Leanne Huff. Hello, Leanne.
Hello.
Nice to have you in studio. You know, I'm always curious to find out how a person came to know the Lord. That's always a great starting point.
Okay. I was in a very, very difficult situation, a marriage, an unfaithful husband, and I had a neighbor lady who kept coming and knocking on my door. Her daughter and my daughter were best friends, and she invited me to her little, wonderful Baptist church that had a hellfire and damnation brimstone evangelist there, and he got done speaking, and I think I ran to the front, and I just fell on my knees, and that was 45 years ago.
Wow. Yes. So what were you doing for church prior to that?
I really wasn't.
Okay.
I always had a hunger for the Lord ever since I was a little girl. I got up at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning to go to a mass with my next-door neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always wanted to know the Lord. But so after I gave my heart to the Lord, I didn't ever go to the Baptist church with her. I went to an evangelical free church, got totally grounded in the Word with a wonderful, wonderful Sunday school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on to Jesus People Church and went to Bible school and it was just been a wonderful journey.
Yeah, love at first sight, and it's just grown deeper and deeper, hasn't
Amen.
It?
Amen.
Yeah. And then can I ask what happened when you went home that day from a new born-again experience? Did the marriage work out, or did it end?
Well, I tried for the next 5 years believing that God
sure.
would save the whole marriage, but unfortunately, no. But I just grew more and more with the Lord, so it was just an awesome experience, and my children came to know the Lord, and so eventually God brought me a man of God who loves the Lord. So we've been married for 32 years now. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And you've got kids. How many kids do you have?
I have two daughters.
Two daughters. And any grandkids?
Yes, I have. Well, I have three grandchildren, but we just found out Sunday that we are going to have identical twin great-grandchildren.
Wow. Oh, fantastic.
Yes, so we're very excited.
Yeah, that's exciting. So when you, for decades now, you have followed the Lord, and when you look back over God's faithfulness over so many years, what did you do along the way just to sort of document God's faithfulness? Did you write notes in your Bible? Did you keep a journal? If I were to get my hand on your Bible, would I see all kinds of handwriting everywhere?
Yes, you would. You'd see colors and post-it notes and big notes and little notes and tons of journals.
Mm-hmm.
I really am a journaler. I think that that's such an amazing way to communicate with God.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you go back in those journals and see God's faithfulness along the way? And it just warms your heart and... There were probably times when you wonder where God was, and now you look back and go, I know exactly where he was. He was at work in my life, and I wasn't even aware of it.
Yes, yes. So many places you look back, and just knowing he was always in control and never lets go. And also looking back in those journals, wondering why I haven't grown more. I think we're our own worst critic. We're hardest on ourselves.
Oh, completely.
And I look back and I think, that's the same sin I'm committing now, that laziness or procrastination mm-hmm. or those things. So, you know, I can see both sides. I mean, God's done some amazing, amazing miracles in my life. I had cancer and God totally healed me of that. I just was diagnosed a year ago, and I mean, literally, he healed me. I went to an oncologist and she wanted me to do all this stuff, and I said, no, I'm just going to stand on the word and be healed. But I also had cancer 30 years ago and did the whole chemo thing mm-hmm. and been healed from all this time also. So, you know, you can see huge miracles like that, and then there's the day-to-day where mm-hmm. he just never leaves you.
So, Leanne, what was your fellowship, whether it was daily or weekly, or what did you do to surround yourself with other godly women that kept you nurtured in your faith and encouraged and all that? You didn't do this by yourself, did you?
Absolutely not. I think a big part is belonging to the right family of God in the right church.
Okay.
And participating. I think that helps you to have the accountability that you need. If you don't have accountability, it's so easy to get sidetracked. I had women that I worked with, and I think as a Christian, as a fellow believer, we are drawn to other believers, and we just stuck together. My best friends I've had for 40 and 50 years.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, we still stick together.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny how over decades of following the Lord, so much has changed in our world, so much has changed with technology, and yet the Word of God never changes.
Amen.
His love and his faithfulness is the same every day. There must have been times decades ago, Leanne, where you felt like the world was completely nuts, right?
Some days you still do.
Well, no. Now, fast forward to today, and we know the world is nuts.
Exactly.
But, I mean, that's always something that we think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That,
yes.
That the world's nuts, but God's in control, right?
Yes. And there's so much to learning that trust factor. I grew up in an abusive home. My parents were divorced when I was very young. And very, very early, probably just months into my salvation experience, I went to Bill Gothard's Basic Youth.
Oh, fantastic.
Remember that?
Oh, sure.
Oh, and I went every time he came.
Uh-huh.
And I think that I learned that whole father forgiveness thing so deep. And I learned that trust so deep. And that has really kept me on track.
Mm-hmm. Any prayers that weren't answered that you look back and go, what a relief he didn't answer those prayers the way I had hoped?
Yeah, I think my ex-husband.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it just wasn't meant to be. But mm-hmm. yes, yes. But as far as no working my career, God blessed it the whole way. I, like I said, I was my parents were divorced when I was young, and God just brought total restoration between my father and I. For like 10 years, my father wouldn't speak to me, him and his wife, and I didn't know why. And I had been to Bill Gothard's program that Saturday morning, and I came to my dad's house, and I knocked on the door, and his wife just looked at me and like, what do you want? And I said, I really need to talk to my dad. And I can remember walking into their living room and just falling on my knees and saying to him, please forgive me. I didn't know why I was asking, but I knew that that was the bridge to restoring. And eventually God just healed and healed and healed. And my dad finally told me he loved me not very long before he died. So it was worth it.
That's so sweet.
It
We've
was.
Got the guests and the producer and the host all in tears right now. Thank you so much, Leah. That's the way it works sometimes, though, yeah. When you know you get the redemptive healing power of Christ that comes in and does only what he can do.
Right.
Only he can do that.
Right. And I was able to pray the prayer of salvation with my dad before he went home to heaven. So what more could a girl ask for?
Yeah, right. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, when you look at some of the younger generation today, some of the younger women that you might encounter either at church or in, you know, your circle of influence, what do you see that's frightening you when it comes to their lives? Maybe that frightening is not the right word, but you know what I'm saying? What are you a little nervous for them about?
My biggest concern, I think the accountability. They listen, they'll call and they'll ask for prayer. They're always texting me constantly praying, you know, will you pray? Will you pray? Of course I'll pray. And I text them back or call them back and pray. But then when you confront them with, you need to allow God to do this, you need to make this decision or whatever, then they are not as keen on that kind of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And until you learn to truly trust, I think it all goes back to that trust issue. I think many of the young people today have come up in families that are very dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have those daddy issues. And it's very difficult to learn to trust your heavenly father when you've had an earthly father that's disappointed you.
Sure.
So until they can come to that place and really dig into the word and dig into the fact that God loves them unconditionally. I tell them that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you unconditionally. And it isn't about you. You know, it really isn't about you. It's about what he already did. It's about his love. And yet we're like, well, I can't and I do and I'm me, me, me. Well, it's really not about me, me, me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him.
Yeah. Leanne, as you have lived life now over all these decades of following Christ, and I can just see in your heart and in your eyes that your love for him is just so great, and it's so beautiful. As we all get older and we start to lose loved ones, and the landscape changes, doesn't it?
It does.
So you've gone through that season where your parents are gone.
Yes.
And you start to have friends that you lose, and then you start to have friends that start to say kind of crazy things as well, don't they?
Yes.
And you kind of wonder, where does that come from? You know? And then how do I minister to people that might be starting to fear the end of life and not know Christ, but they've been pushing them away forever?
Well, I have an amazing opportunity most every week. I'm a chaplain at a care center.
Oh, wow.
Elderly. And there is not a day that goes by when I'm in that care center that I do not have the opportunity to pray with people. And when I even just go in and lay hands on them and pray for them to encourage them, many, many times I just incorporate the prayer of salvation, how much God loves them unconditionally, that he died on the cross for them, and the forgiveness that they can receive from him. So I am so, so blessed to be able to do that. And the care center that I'm at, they just endorse it. There's never anybody that says I can't talk about Jesus. So when I do Bible studies or I get to give them communion, so I have so many wonderful, wonderful opportunities. It's awesome.
That's great, because I find it that people are panicky. Some are panicky.
Mm-hmm.
Some have wandered away from the faith. Some have decided that they're going to figure it out on their own. And then you just try to connect with them because it's the heart's a wind-up clock. You never know how many ticks you get.
Exactly.
And one day it just stops. And then you either fall into the arms of your Heavenly Father or you face a Christless eternity.
Exactly.
And that should always keep in our hearts and minds a sense of urgency that we need to keep doing what you're doing, going out and using every opportunity you can.
I try. We have a six-month memorial service at our care center for all of the people who have passed away, and so we invite their families to come and do a memorial. And again, it's another awesome, great opportunity to share with them that I've had the opportunity to pray with their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that even if your body is physically dying, your spirit is alive and well.
Amen.
And when I am praying for them, I believe that their spirit is hearing.
Yeah, I love this expression. Better it be hard and right than hard and wrong. And if you were going to give hard counsel to somebody, to a younger generation, this might be hard for you to hear, but here it is. What would it be?
I guess the first thing that comes to me is life and death are in the power of the tongue, and that we speak such foolishness. We speak negative, and especially about ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves. I might say nice things about you. And
I hope
then
you do.
I absolutely.
Well, good.
And then I would walk away.
Do you
want
to do it now?
Yes. This is an awesome experience.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yes,
right,
and
now, please
I
continue.
Love Triple Espresso.
Oh, thank you. A little aside.
Yes.
Returning in the fall.
Yes. But they speak things that are death. And I am always encouraging the ladies and the gals that I mentor that we need to speak life, and especially over ourselves. We need to have that accountability. We need to know what God thinks about us. And He thinks we're beautiful. He thinks we are a treasure.
Precious.
Precious.
How about precious?
Yes, I love precious.
Yeah. To be cherished.
Amen.
You know, and
come
on,
preach it, brother.
Oh, yeah, you bet I am. Talking to Leanne Huff, we'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. This segment called Words of the Wise is something that I'm just loving. And my in-studio guest is Leanne Huff. And she's been a follower of Jesus for 45 years. And as we're just chatting now about life and death, it gets to be a topic she likes, she embraces, and she looks for every opportunity to bring Christ into that narrative. So do say more about life and death.
Well, life words are powerful. Joyce Meyer quotes that they're more powerful than an atomic bomb. And when you think about it, I can destroy a person with my words, or I can encourage them and lift them up. And not only to other people, but to myself. And that's what I encourage the ladies that I mentor in my churches. It's so much about encouraging yourself also and believing what the Word of God says about
mm-hmm.
you. And when we get mad at ourselves or we do something foolish or make a mistake, oh, my goodness, we're the first ones to just beat ourselves up. But that isn't what God wants. I have this amazing tapestry. And if you look at the top of the tapestry, it's beautiful. It's all these flowers that are all woven together. And then on the bottom of the tapestry, I've added all kinds of ugly threads and yarns and knots and stuff. And I show that to them and tell them, think about this. When God looks down on us, He sees that beautiful flower or tapestry that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at ourselves, we look up and we see the knots and the threads and the mess. And we are hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to teach ourselves to speak life.
Leanne, where are some of these negative messages coming from? You know, when you say that women need to speak truth to their lives and speak God's truth into your heart and let that drive your spirit versus some of the negative messages. Where are these negative messages coming from?
Well, the enemy likes to just sit on your shoulder and lie to you, but I think we grow up with a lot of negative. just having siblings, we tease each other, we say things.
Mm-hmm.
We grow up with parents who don't always know how to parent, and they've taken out their frustrations on us and have said things to us that are not true. And when you hear that, you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was an alcoholic, and she was very, very hard on me that I could never do anything right. She was a perfectionist, and so it was difficult to grow up with somebody that you could never please.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Yeah. You know that old saying, this is the biggest lie out there, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me? Is there a bigger lie that's ever been told?
No. Absolutely. I tell my girls that one, too. Absolutely.
Yeah, because words... So if you're going to be giving advice to the younger generation, you would say be careful with the words mm-hmm. and make sure that you give life-affirming words mm-hmm. to yourself and to others.
Exactly.
And it costs us nothing.
Exactly.
Why is it so cheap? All we have to do is be nice and say something positive and uplifting, and we don't open our wallet once.
Yes.
Why don't we do it more often? Now I'm getting all excited here.
I have an index card posted on my radio in my car that says, kindness is action.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing something. It's either speaking, smiling. I don't even, like you said, I don't have to open my wallet. I can just smile at somebody and encourage them.
Mm-hmm. You have no idea how powerful that is. You know, I sometimes look at people who have what I might consider to be kind of invisible type jobs, where nobody ever notices them, mm-hmm. nobody ever pays attention to them,
right.
nobody ever talks to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you smile at them,
mm-hmm.
it's like you've just identified their humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a gas station rest stop on a trip, and I went in to use the bathroom, and it was really clean, and there was a guy in there cleaning. And I said, hey, I just want to say hi and say thank you for keeping this restroom
yes.
like a surgeon's operating room.
Yes.
It is spectacular. And he said to me, no one has ever, ever said that to me. Thank you so much. And it's like his whole face lit up.
Yes.
Like he'd been validated, like he had been honored.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know he was, but I mean, a difficult job, and all I did was something that cost me nothing. Yeah.
Little time.
So why don't, Leanne, we take more time to do something that's so magical?
Maybe we just don't think about it. We don't. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that you have to practice. It's like any good habit. Once you start doing it, and you do it a few times, it becomes more and more of a habit.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we're too focused on ourselves?
Oh, gee.
There we go. Now I'm changing the subject.
Me.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I give out a compliment to somebody, what about the compliment I should be getting? I mean, it's crazy.
Yes, yes. Well, we're an entitled generation of people thinking we deserve this, I mean, after all.
Now, do you have certain parts of God's Word that has just lived in your heart with great passion? Mm-hmm. You have a not really a life verse, but maybe a life verse?
I've always said Jeremiah 29:11, the plans and the purposes mm-hmm. he has, is I believe that for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that God has a very special plan. My other favorite is take and make, and that's the simplistic version of take every thought captive and make it obedient.
I was about to say, I don't know if I know that one.
You do.
I do know that one, yeah.
But back to the words, so I'm sitting here and I'm feeling frustrated that I've made a mistake or I've done something, whatever the case may be, and the enemy just is trying to destroy me with making a foolish error. But if I stop and realize that it's a spiritual battle, it's not my husband who I'm angry with, it's mm-hmm. the spiritual thing, and I stop and take that thought captive and make it obedient by proclaiming the word of God over myself, over the situation, I'll stop and say that to my husband. Many times there's the little argument that's going to start to flare up. And I said, we don't fight against flesh and blood, so let's just stop this right now. And, you know, usually it's Sunday morning when you're going to church.
Right,
my husband preaches every Sunday morning at a homeless shelter, so he really needs to be guarded. And so we're working on it.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. How are you at laughing at your mistakes?
I am better than I ever was. I make enough of them that I'm, you know, I can laugh now.
Yeah. How important is it to not take yourself too seriously?
Oh, absolutely, positively. Mm-hmm. I'm probably one of the most kickback people I know.
Mm-hmm.
I went to ladies' ministry Saturday morning, and they were talking about the transparency. And she said, "I really want you to open up. I really want you to be transparent." And I'm all for that. I think that's awesome because I think that as an older person, that's how I will help the younger generation too. Is that they can see. But I was sitting there thinking, I don't know that I have much to share that's not already transparent.
Mm-hmm.
You know. My life is kind of an open book. I am really blessed. I get to be retired. I do get to go to the care center and work when I want to. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, it's a nice life, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. You're at a nice place in life,
yes.
I should say.
Yes, I'm healthy, whole, healed, delivered. Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, we've got just about a minute left, Leanne. Okay. Thank you so much for coming into the studio and being such a delightful guest. Any last parting thought to a younger generation?
Mm.
That's kind of an on-the-spot question, but feel free to answer it or not.
Prayer. Prayer is an amazing, amazing thing that if you can find someone to learn to pray with you, to agree with you. So many times in my church, people come and they don't want to come to the prayer group because they think they don't know how to pray. But it's just chatting. It's just talking to God. It's just being with Him. So I think as a woman of God, it's so important to be able to encourage the younger people to just come and pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just talk to Him.
Yeah.
He's ready, willing, and able.
Yeah. Well, amen. Leanne Huff has been my guest, and the segment is getting to be a favorite of mine called Words of the Wise. So thank you so much, Leanne, for being a great guest. Thank you so much for listening. We just love our listeners at Faith Radio, and thank you for supporting us as well. Thank you for listening, and go to the website, myfaithradio.com. You can download any of the shows and podcasts and send them to your friends. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday.